Morning. Today's daf is Chavdal and Shavuos. We're on the bottom of Chav Gimel Mid Beis. Shavuos Shalom Ocha. We're going to be talking today almost exclusively about the end of the mission that we learned already. The person makes a shavuot that he's not going to eat. Okay, he feels like he needs a little break from food. So that's it. I'm not going to eat. And the Mishnah describes two scenarios. One scenario is that after making such a shvua, so he helps himself to not kosher food. So the Mishnah says that he violates his shvua, that the shvua covered your food, and he's eating food, and despite the fact that it's aser min ha-Torah, but he violated his shvua. Then the Mishnah said, and if he ate dirt, things that are inedible, so then he didn't violate his shvua. That was the Mishnah. Gemara's going to be bothered by that because the Gemara's are going to walk into this discussion with the following premise. For us Jews, not kosher food is dirt. Meaning, what's the difference? Meaning, if the Torah says they can't eat something, so that's it. Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Creator, says that we're not allowed to eat it, so it's not food. It's dirt. So why should the two cases be different than one another? So the simplest answer, which is going to come up in the second half of today's daf, is that even though the Torah asks it, but you could still see a really basic difference, meaning there's food and then there's dirt. Food is edible and dirt's not. But for the first half of today's daf, don't think like that. Meaning right now we're gonna think really we're gonna have like a religious mind, and if the Torah says it's asa, that's it. I can't eat it. What's the question? And so if this is the premise of the Gemara, which it is. So now the Gemara is going to ask a simple question, and the answers that it's going to generate are going to be really fundamental answers. Answers that we've already heard these answers before in the Masechta, but you talk about thematically the real ikarim, the real essential principles that are coming out of the Masechta, so we're going to be seeing them over the course of today's daf. Let's see all this inside. We start with the Gemara. So if you say that you made a shvua and you're not going to eat, and you ate things that are not fit to be consumed, drinks that are not fit to be drunk, so you're going to be potter. You didn't violate your shvua. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, you made a shvua, you're not going to eat, and then you eat not kosher food. Right, various examples. Nevela, an animal that wasn't shechted property. Trefa, the animal has a puncture, right, in one of its internal organs. That means that the animal is going to die within 12 months. Shkatzim v'ramasim, animals that crawl on the ground. So, again, all examples of non-kosher food. Chayiv. So you violate your shvua. Maishna resha, depater, maishna sefer, dechayiv. What's the difference between the two? Great question. And again, the question is, working under the premise that non-kosher food to us is, it's dirt. Okay, it's you're not allowed to eat it. So halokashya. So the Gemara starts off now with the following suggestion. Resha b'stam v'sefa b'mefarish. So the Gemara says, well, in the resha, you just simply said, I'm not going to eat, period. And you didn't clarify. In the sefa, however, you actually clarified. And you said, I'm not going to eat non-kosher food. So the Gemara says, mefarish ami, gufei tikshe. Amai, mushba mehar sinayu. So the Gemara says, okay, so you made a shvua, you're not going to eat treif. Right, I'm not going to McDonald's. By shvua, I'm not going to go to McDonald's. Gemara says, okay, I don't understand. That shvua shouldn't be chal at all. In other words, that is something which is already prohibited to us. Ein shvua chal al shvua. Or in this case, ein iser chal al iser. Meaning, when you're talking about eating nevela, it's already aser. What am I trying to do now with my shvua? I'm being mefarish. I'm pointing to the non-kosher food and I'm saying, you see that non-kosher food over there? I'm not eating it. I'm bound by shvua not to eat it. It's already aser. So, and we have the principle of ein iser chal al iser. We don't have one iser imposing on top of another iser. So why should that? So the answer of stam versus mefarish is a wonderful answer. It just simply doesn't work, or seemingly doesn't work, because of the principle of ein iser chal al iser. Rav Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan da'amri. So here we go now with our classic approaches. I say it's classic because this is now in the Masechta, the third time we're hearing this. So you talk about chazara built into the Masechta. Third time we're hearing this. So Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, they say, kolo dvar mamutarim im dvar mahasur. So our first answer is that it's an iser kolo. Now, what does that mean? So it's a great question, and not only that, but today's daf is the daf for iser kolo. Meaning we're going to be explaining this in great detail. For our purposes right now, iser kolo simply means that with my shvua that I made, that I'm not going to eat, and I prohibit myself from eating, both kosher food and non-kosher food. since my shvuah is going to be applied to kosher food, it's also going to apply to non-kosher food as well. Without giving a proper definition, let's just, for our purposes right now, let's call that issur kol. It is. It's an example of issur kol. So even though we have a general rule of ein issur challah issur, when the Torah already prohibits something, you can't have a secondary issur imposed on top of it. That's true. But if the secondary issur is an issur kol, so then the second issur will impose. We're going to work out a lot better over the course of today's daf, getting our definitions down of what it actually means, issur kol, what's the svar behind issur kol, all that's coming up. But right now, we're just going through the Pashas HaGemara. So that's why the second issur is going to be chal, because of issur kol. Reish Lakish Amar Yatam Otei Ela B'Mefarash Chatzi Shir V'Aliba D'Rabbanan Ibas Tam Aliba D'Rabbi Akiva D'Amar Adam Aser Oser Atzma B'Choshu. And Reish Lakish gives a different answer. Do you know why the second shvuah is going to be chal? Because when the Torah prohibits nevela, what is the Torah prohibiting me to do? The Torah says I can't eat nevela, but the Torah also gives me a shir. How much can't I eat of the nevela? I can't eat a kazayis. Now, yes, there is a shita in the Gemara in Yom Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah. And parenthetically, by the way, that position of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah is subscribed to by Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rishonim on the daf pick it up. But right now, I'm not ignoring it. I'm just simply, it's not going to be our focus for this morning. So let's just say the Gemara Kipshuto. The Torah prohibits me from eating a kizayis of nevela. Now, what am I going to do with my shvuah? I'm going to state, b'mefarish, I'm going to explicate and say that I'm bound now by my shvuah that I'm not going to even eat a chatzi kizayis. Okay, so that's what the second shvuah is doing, imposing on the first. Now, that's if you subscribe to the opinion of the Chachamim, where a shvuah in general is going to prohibit you from eating a kazayis, but if I explicate, so then the shvuah can cover even less than a kazayis. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, which we saw also earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Kiva says that when you make a shvuah, you're not going to eat something, it includes and incorporates any amount of it. So according to Rabbi Kiva, you don't even have to be a mefarish. According to Rabbi Kiva, you simply say, stam, I'm not going to eat it, and that already means less than a kazayis. In either event, you hold like the Chacham and you hold like Rabbi Kiva, according to Reish Lakish, what's the second shvuah going to do? It's going to include even less than a kazayis. We have now two approaches to explain our question. Our question, how could it be that that second shvuah is going to be chal on nevela? I say I'm not going to eat the nevela. I buy myself by a shvuah, I'm not going to eat the nevela. How can the second shvuah be chal? It's already asur to me. Ein isur chal al isur. So we have two principled answers of the Gemara. One is Rav Yochanan. I say Rav Yochanan right now because I know it's Rav, it's Shmuel as well, but the Gemara is just going to refer to it as Rav Yochanan. It's also a good contrast for Reish Lakish. So we start off with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that why is the second Isser going to be Chal? Why is my Shul going to be Chal? Based on the principle of Isser Kolo. According to Reish Lakish, why is that second Isser going to be Chal? Because the second Isser is introducing a new aspect, which is less than a Kazayis. Now, what's the advantage of Rav Yochanan's answer? So the advantage of Rav Yochanan's answer is that you don't have to set up the Mishnah like either the Chachamim or Rabbi Akiva, like which is what Reish Lakish had to do. So in other words, he's explaining the Mishnah through Devar Muskam, a shita that everyone accepts. Why does Reish Lakish subscribe to Rav Yochanan's answer? I'm alacha ki amin in iser kolal beiser haba me'elav beiser haba yidei atzma lo arminin. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, look, iser kolal, I'm a fan. I believe in iser kolal. I don't know if the word belief is the right way to describe it. It's not a belief system. In other words, whether you subscribe to the halacha, you don't subscribe to the halacha based on the arguments which we're going to provide in just a short amount of time. But in other words, what Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, I'm a fan of iser kolal. But what are we talking about over here in terms of our second Isser? Our second Isser is not an automatic Isser. Our second Isser is a Shvuah. A Shvuah is a personal Isser that you're creating. A personal Isser that you're creating is not strong enough, obviously. Let's be clear. It's certainly strong enough where, if I make a Shvuah, I'm bound by that Shvuah. And I'm bound by the Torah to abide by my Shvuah. But still, a shvuah, because it's a personal isser, it's not an objective isser, it doesn't come automatically, that second isser, even via kolel, is not going to be strong enough where it's going to be able to impose on an already existing isser. So Reish Lakish says that's just simply not going to work over here because the second Isser is a personal Isser. It's not an Isser Abba Me'elav. What's an example of an Isser Abba Me'elav? So Rashi over here points out, and the reason why I'm going to go through the Rashi right now, I'll say it outside. But the reason why I'm going to go through this Rashi is because we're going to keep seeing this example again and again. It's going to be one of our prime examples to study the idea of Isser Kolal. Let's talk about the following. You have an animal which died without a proper shechita. That's called a nevela. You and I can't eat it. It's also min haTorah. And then what happens is that that night happens to be Yom Kippur. So that night now with the setting of the sun, so we now have a second Isser applied to this meat. The meat was already Isser to me through nevela, and now Yom Kippur comes. So now that's a second Isser. Is that second Isser going to be chal? Sure. Now, not everyone agrees to that. I say it so simply. Like, yeah, sure. But we'll see later. Not everyone agrees. But for our purposes right now, sure, the second Isser is going to apply. Why? Meaning the meat's already Isser to me. The meat's Isser to me through Nevela. Now on Yom Kippur, I eat it. And am I going to be subject to violating Yom Kippur on something which is already Isser to me? So in other words, let's say I ate the meat b'shogeg. Am I also going to have to bring a carbon chatos for eating on Yom Kippur? So the answer is yeah, but why? So in other words, this is going to be our classic example of Isser Kolal. Because what is Yom Kippur introducing now? On Yom Kippur, I can't eat this. I also can't eat anything else. Meaning, is Yom Kippur comes along, and since Yom Kippur applies to other foods, Yom Kippur also is going to apply to this piece of meat as well. An example of Isser Kolal. So now, what is Yom Kippur in terms of our discussion and Isser Haba Me'elav? I didn't do anything. Yom Kippur came on its own. This second Isser comes on its own. That's an example of Isser Abba Me'elav. That's an example where the second Isser would apply. What Reish Lakish is arguing over here is that if your second Isser is only a Shvuah is a personal Isser, it only affects you, it doesn't affect other people, so then the second Isser is not going to impose on the first Isser. That's Reish Lakish's argument. Bishlam Reish Lakish Mishum Hachi Kapatu Rabbi Shimon. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah because now we have just a little bit more explaining to do. You see, back in the Mishnah, we had a debate, meaning we have only been focusing up until this point in time about the opinion of the Tanakhama. You go back to the Mishnah, you look at Chav Beis Amud Beis, and the Mishnah records that if a person makes a shvua that he's not going to eat, and then he eats foods that are prohibited to him, so the Tanakhama says, Yechayiv, you violate your shvua. Fine. And then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon is poter. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you didn't violate your shvua. Oh. So what we have to now explore is, well, what's behind Rabbi Sheet of Rabbi Shimon? Why would Rabbi Shimon say that shvua is not going to be chal? So the Gemara says, well, we have two different ways to explain the Tanakhama. So however we're going to explain the Tanakhama, we're going to have to then explain Reish Lakish. Sorry. Whichever way you explain the Tanakhama, that's how we're going to have to explain Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara gives us both. So according to Reish Lakish, it's beautiful. Meaning, you know why Rabbi Shimon says you're pater? Titanya. Rabbi Shimon amar kosher ulamakos v'lo amar kizayis ala l'karbon. Because remember, what did Rabbi Shimon say back in the end of Masechta Makos? Rabbi Shimon says that in terms of what is the shear of Isser? How much Isser do I need in order to be subject to Makos? According to Rabbi Shimon, any amount. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that in order to be subject to Makos, you don't have to eat a kizayis. You eat any amount of Isser, and you're subject now to the Onesh HaTorah. You're subject to Malkus. Yes, there's an idea of Kezayis, but that's only vis-a-vis bringing a carbon in the event that you ate B'shogeg. But B'mezid, a kosher. So and that now means then that we have really a beautiful way of explaining the Machlokas in the Mishnah. According to the Tanakhama, do you know why the Yeshua is Chal on the Nevel and Trefa? Because the Nevel and Trefa only covers the Kezayis. Your Shvua is going to be covering a Mashu. Great. According to Rabbi Shimon, no. Because when the Torah asks us nevela, you know how much you eat and you violate the Torah? Any amount. So already there's an Isser Mashu. So then along comes Yeshua and adds what? Nothing. Exactly. And that's why Yeshua is not going to be chal. And that's why when you eat the nevela, you're not going to be subject, you're not going to be in violation of your Yeshua. Of course, you'll be in violation of eating nevela, but you won't be in violation of eating Yeshua.
Okay.
It's certainly, maybe. But it's certainly not Shavuos Bitui. Ela Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon the Potter. So now the Gemara says, okay, so that's wonderful. According to Reish Lakish, it's great. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, how do you explain the Machlokas? Now, remember, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's behind the opinion of the Tanakhama? It's the principle of Isser Kolal. your shvuah is going to be chal on top of the Isser Torah, because your shvuah is an Isser Kola. Which again, we're going to explain better in a little bit, but it falls under the category of Isser Kola. So according to Rav Yochanan, why is Rabbi Shimon arguing? But again, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Midi hutayma elam yishim Isser Kola, Rabbi Shimon latayma delesa Isser Kola. Gemara says it also works out according to Rav Yochanan, because Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the principle of Isser Kola. Oh, very good. So if he disagrees with the principle of Isser Kola, so according to Rav Yochanan, we also now have an excellent pshat in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama says that if you make a shvuah and you're not, that you're not going to eat, so included in that is going to be nevela. Why? Because the Tanakhama subscribes to Isser Kola. Rabbi Shimon says, no, your shvuah is not going to apply to the nevela. Why? Because he doesn't subscribe to Isser Kola. Fantastic. Now, how do we know that Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to Isser Kola? D'tanya. Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Ha'ochel Nevela, B'yom Kippur, and Pater. You eat Nevela on Yom Kippur, right? So you're sitting there on Yom Kippur, and you're eating and you're eating a meat that's not Shechtin. Right? So, double whammy. According to Rabbi Shimon, no, it's not a double whammy. Single whammy, right? You violated Nevela because the animal was a Nevela prior to Yom Kippur, but you didn't violate eating on Yom Kippur. Why? Ein Isser Chal Isser. Well, isn't that second Isser an Isser Kolel? It is. Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to Isser Kolel. Again, we'll outline that much better in just a moment from now, a couple minutes from now. But it's a fact. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to Isser Kolel. So once again, a really good way now of explaining the Mishnah according to Rav Yochanan. Bishlam al reish lakish mishkachala belavein. So the Gemara over here is referencing a Gemara that we haven't learned together yet in the Masechta, but you don't have to wait that long. Tomorrow we're going to be learning on Daf Chaf Hei and Shvuos this idea of Lavehein. What's the idea of Lavehein? In order for a Shvuah to be a valid Shvuah, you have to be able to state a Shvuah both in the negative or in the positive. Okay, for example, I'm going to eat, I'm not going to eat. In other words, in order for a Shvuah to actually have any validity, you have to be able to state it either in the positive or in the negative. So the Gemara says, so now let's think this through. According to Reish Lakish, it works out very well. Meaning, what was Reish Lakish's ukimta of our Mishnah? Where your shvuah is that you're going to be eating less than a shear. So according to Reish Lakish, it works out. Mishkachala belav vehein. Is it reversible? Is the shvuah reversible? Sure. Meaning, what's your shvuah? Either I'm not going to eat less than a kezias, or I am going to eat less than a kezias. Now, I know we're talking about nevela. And I know that's strange. Meaning, but the Torah does not prohibit eating less than a kezias. And again, I made mention earlier this morning, I know chatzi shear is also in the Torah, but first of all, that's a machlokas in the Gemara and Yuma, and also Reish Lakish happens to be of the opinion that chatzi shear is not asur min haTorah. So, for our purposes right now, we're just going to say the Gemara simply. Is it a reversible shvuah? Sure. I can either say I'm not eating less than a kezias, or I could say I am eating less than a kezias. But ela le Rabbi Yochanan bishlam alav mishkachala. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, remember, for Rabbi Yochanan, what is the explanation of the Mishnah? Isser Kola. So now, I could say it in the negative. How's the negative work? I'm not eating, period. I'm not eating, period, meaning, and it's applied to kosher and non-kosher food as well. The idea of him saying, I'm not eating not kosher, is something which is, it would have validity. But, mishkachala, ela hein ech mishkachala. But now let's think about the positive. Is it reversible? By shvuah, I'm going to eat that non-kosher food. No, you can't eat it. Not allowed to. So in other words, it's not a reversible shvuah. And if it's not reversible, so then it's not a shvuah. Meaning the very definition of a shvuah is something which could be said both in the negative and in the positive. So, comes out now that we have, up until this point in the daf, have attempted to give an explanation of the machlokas in the Mishnah. Not a machlokas. Just simple pshat in the Mishnah. When you make a shvuah, so is that shvuah, and that you're not going to eat. And the Mishnah says, and if you then went ahead and eat non-kosher food, you're violating your shvuah. As opposed to eating inedible food, which you are not violating your shvuah. And as stated from the very beginning of the whole sugya, the Gemara is assuming that that non-kosher food is just like an edible food. What's the difference? So then, the question that we started off our whole morning with is, what's the difference? How come if I eat non-kosher food, I violate my shvuah? But if I eat inedible food, I didn't violate my shvuah. And so there we had now, up until this point in time, two approaches to this answer. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that your shua is going to be chal on the non-kosher food based on the principle of Isser Kol. Reish Lakish says that your second shua is going to be chal on the food based on the fact that your first that the Isser Torah is only on the Kezias. Your shua introduced to even Pachos Mikezias. And well, the Gemara has now been bouncing back and forth. Why in Rav Yochanan like Reish Lakish? Why in Reish Lakish like Rav Yochanan's answer? Can you explain the machlokas of the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? Yes, we can, both according to Rav Yochanan and according to Reish Lakish. What about the fact that it's reversible? Oh, the Gemara got... So finally, now the Gemara gets stuck. And the Gemara says, look, up until this point in time, it sounded like both of these approaches are going to work, but the Gemara now gets stuck with Rav Yochanan on a technicality that, according to Rav Yochanan, it's not a reversible shvuah. And if it's not a reversible shvuah, therefore it's not a shvuah, so back to the drawing board. The shvuah at Sinai is, I
know
the Gemara says mushma mehar Sinai. It just simply is a way of saying it's asr. The Torah asrs it, meaning, right? In other words, my ancestors were there 3,300 years ago, and yes, they made a shvuah, but I didn't make a shvuah. In other words, it's just simply a way of saying it's asr. Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to give a second approach. And the second approach now is basically going to shatter our initial assumption. Our initial assumption is that there shouldn't be any fundamental difference between food that's asr to me versus inedible food. That was the assumption going into the whole discussion. And so now all you do is you change an original assumption, and obviously now you could look at the problem fresh. And that's what the Gemara is going to do. So the Gemara says, Elakid Rava, Dama Rava Shvur Shalo Ochel, the Achel Offer, Pater. So Rava says that if you make a Shvur that you're not going to eat, and you eat dirt, did you violate your Shvur? No. And why not? Because it's not food. As Rashi over here points out, there's just a simple fundamental difference between dirt and food. When it comes to dirt, it's inedible. So in other words, when I make my Shvur and I say, I'm not eating, so let's go into my mind, okay? No, it may not be the best suggestion, but let's go into my mind. What's included in my what am I thinking about when I say I'm not going to eat? What I'm covering over here is food. When I say food, meaning anything which is edible, has nutritional value, caloric value, food. So what about non-kosher food? Yeah, I'm thinking about non-kosher food as well. It happens to be, Rashi over here borrows the Gemara's expression that we saw earlier, right? Arye Rav Yailave. Right, there's a line standing on top of the non-kosher food. That line is called the Torah. It's called the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Tzivui Hashem. I can't eat it. But it's food. It's covered by my Shvuah. Dirt, on the other hand, is just simply inedible. So it's not covered by my Shvuah. So in other words, although the assumption going into the problem was there's no difference between the two, and non-kosher food is just like dirt, the Gemara's answer now, Rava's answer is no, it's not. It's not just like dirt. It's food. It has caloric value. It's edible. Therefore, it's being covered by my shua. Dirt, on the other hand, is not. Amar of Mari Afanami Tanina. Now Rav Mari would like to support this answer, because look at one of the examples of our Mishnah. Strange case in the Mishnah. Konim ishti nenefli ma'achalti ayam va'achal nevel shefesh katsim v'ramasim. Hari isha asur alo. A person is just simply, him and his wife are not having proper shalom bias, and he says to his wife, you're not going to get any benefit from me if I eat today. So basically, he puts in a condition into the neder. And then what does he do? He then goes and he eats non-kosher food. He's having a really bad day. He's got shalom bias issues. He's got kashrus issues. He's having a really bad day. But for our purposes, what did the Mishnah teach us? That when he eats the non-kosher food, he now triggers the neder, and the neder kicks in. So what do you see over here? That in his condition that he set forth, if I eat today, what did the eating cover? Anything which is food. Food, kosher, non-kosher food. This seems to support Rava. Hachiyasha, the Gemara says, look, if that's the only support for Rava, Gemara says, I don't think it's that strong. Because Hasim came to Mikara Achava Hadish Tavale, because over there, first he eats, which then sets everything into motion. So by virtue of the fact that he's eating non-kosher food, what is it showing? It shows us that when he said, I'm not eating, he clearly intended on both kosher and non-kosher. So chashuve achshave. So clearly he gave significance to both kosher and non-kosher food. But if we're talking about just Stam, a regular Jew, who says that he's not going to eat, so maybe you can make the argument that the only thing that he's thinking about is food that he's allowed to eat, kosher, not kosher. So if that's the only proof, the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that really supports Rava.
Can you make a positive or negative oath regarding a tray food? No.
No, but is it reversible?
Yeah.
Well, again, the Gemara is now saying, this is leaving the answer of the Gemara Mefarish versus Stam, meaning it's not explicating. He's just simply saying, I'm not eating, versus I am eating. He didn't explicate what he's eating, what he's not eating. That's reversible. Okay. Amar Rava, my time of the Yisra Kola. Good. And now for the remainder of today's daf, we are going to spend some quality time going over the definitions of Yisra Kola. The definition of Isra Mosif is a beautiful Rashi. This Rashi, we are going to see inside, and we're going to do it together. So where's the starting point for the whole discussion? Our starting point is Ein Isra Chal Isra, that it cannot have one Isra imposed on top of another Isra. That's the starting point. If an item that's in front of me is already Asr Min HaTorah, so what's the second Isra going to introduce to me? Right now, I'm saying it in the abstract, nothing. It's already Asr to me. So the second Isser is not going to impose on top of another Isser, and that's our starting point of the whole discussion, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. But now we're going to talk about exceptions. One exception is an Isser Kolal. A second exception is going to be an Isser Mosif. And we're going to try to wrap our heads around these ideas of what is Isser Kolal, what is Isser Mosif, which one's better. Now, I'll tell you the truth, even though the Gemara is not going to discuss it, I'll just bring it up now briefly, and that is the idea of Bas Achas. You can have a scenario in which two Isurim can apply to one item, and that is if the two Isurim come concurrently. If there is a moment in time where you have two Isurim coming concurrently, so then the two Isurim will apply to an item. That's what's called Bas Achas. It's not our topic of discussion today. The Gemara doesn't bring it up, but as long as we're talking about it, I'll mention it. But now we go back to the Gemara's question. What's behind the idea of Isur Kolo? So this is Rava's question. We are in Chavdal Amid Beis, two lines down. I'm a Rava. My time in the Mandis lay Isser Kolo, me the Davi Isser Mosif. So it's similar to the idea of Isser Mosif. Manda Pater de lay slay, Kiyama Isser Mosif, Bechad Chaticha, Beshte Chaticha, Zlo Amina. And the one who doesn't subscribe to Isser Kolo, which parenthetically we know already is Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't subscribe to Isser Kolo, he says, no, Isser Mosif applies to one piece. But Isser Kolo, you need two pieces. It's not the same. Okay, we have a lot of explaining to do, but we have Rashi. So my job is made a lot easier because we have Rashi. Let's see the Rashi inside who explains the Gemara beautifully. Beautifully. Mita Dahavia Isser Mosif. You see the Rashi? It's a long Rashi. But Rashi's going to hold our hand, and Rashi's going to really help us understand the idea, the principle of Isser Kolo versus the principle of Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif is better. Why? All this coming up. Rashi writes, Mandalesla Isser Achal Isser be Isser Kolo Isle be Isser Mosif. So our starting point of this discussion is as follows. If you're not buying into Isser Kolo, you do buy into Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif is better. Rashi explains. Kidamrinam be Yavam be Perak Arba Achin. So he quotes the Gemara in Yavamas. Modi Rabbi Yossi be Isser Mosif. Okay, the Gemara over there says that Rabbi Yossi is one of the people, one of the Tanaim, who don't subscribe to Isser Kolo, but he does subscribe to Isser Mosif. Okay, so just, we start off with a fact. Isser Mosif is agreed to by the Tanaim, even though Isser Kolo is up for debate. Isser Kolo, Kari Hecha De'in Isser Achron Mosif Ala Chaticha Klo. So, what is Isser Kolo? It's my terminology, but you know, you're more than happy to share. The Isser Kolo is where it's quantitative, not qualitative. There is a quantifiably greater amount of Isser, which means that the second Isser is going to impose on the first Isser. Ava marbahu Isser ala adam bedvar macherim. In other words, the Isser to this individual now is going to cover more items. It's greater quantitatively. Kigon. Nevela b'yom ha-kippurim. So the Isser Kolo example, which we already said once this morning, but we're going to use now this example again, is where I have a nevela going into Yom Kippur, meaning the animal was not shechted properly. It died without the proper shechita. And now, it was shechted before Yom Kippur. Now, I know that it happens to be that there's a discussion in the Rishonim actually on today's daf. Tosfos discusses on the Amud Aleph that there is a discussion whether or not we can have this discussion if the animal becomes an avela on Yom Kippur. But for our purposes right now, just to keep everything as simple as possible, let's just focus on where it becomes an avela before Yom Kippur. And now, delo balosra ela b'achila. Now that it's an avela before Yom Kippur, what can't I do with that piece of meat that comes from this animal? I can't eat it. It's an isra achila. Uva'achila kvar asurahi mishum nevela. So that means that what is the Torah telling me regarding this piece of meat before Yom Kippur? Not allowed to eat it. Nimsa shalom mosif ala isra achron klum. Now Yom Kippur comes in. Okay, so after Kol Nidre, so now this piece of meat to me. Anything new regarding me and that piece of meat as far as isra is concerned? No. I already could not eat it because of an isra nevela. What is Yom Kippur telling me? Yom Kippur is telling me you can't eat it. Yeah, I knew that already. Meaning that was already a reality, a halachic reality. I'm not allowed to eat it. So Yom Kippur does not introduce anything qualitatively. However, but you know what Yom Kippur is telling me? Not only am I not allowed to eat this piece of meat, I'm not allowed to eat any other pieces of meat as well, even kosher pieces of meat. So in other words, what happens now with Yom Kippur is that it creates a quantitatively greater amount of Isra. I can't eat other pieces of meat. And then, v'amrinan. And here's what we say. Migu dechal yom kippurim ala adam le'asar b'shar ochlim, mishin yom kippurim, kolol nami, es hanavela ima, le'ischayiv mishin yom kippurim. So what Isser Kolol does is it says the following. Since Yom Kippur comes along and tells me that I can't eat other foods, it now is going to include this food as well. It's like almost like an idea of incorporation. It incorporates other foods that therefore will incorporate this as well. Comes along for the ride, so to say. That's the idea behind Isser Kolol. So Isser Kolol, the second Isser will be Chal. It will affect it because since it includes other things, it includes this as well. Okay, Isser Mosif. Let's contrast that now to Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif now, again, terminology which, you know, for better or for worse, it's mine. Isser Mosif is, it's qualitatively more usser. The food itself, the item itself now, has a greater isser in the food itself. Isser Mosif, kishe isser achra mosif al chaticha atzma, tavashalo yaba yidei isser rishon. The food itself, I say food, by the way, in other words, isser doesn't have to be just food. Isser could be other things as well. But the food itself now is going to be qualitatively, a new dimension of isser is going to affect the food. And what the second Isser is going to do now is going to introduce a new dimension to the food itself. Kigon. So here, let's give an example. Rashi does. Chelev shel kodesh. I have chelev of a carbon. We know that when you shech the carbon, if it's an ola, it all goes up on the mizbech. If it's not an ola, parts of the animal go up on the mizbech. Which parts of the animal go up on the mizbech? The chalavim. The fats of the animal. Fats of an animal are not the muscular fats, but the hard fats that are surrounding the various organs of the animal. Okay? Gemara and Chulin goes through anatomically. What exactly are the chalavim? What's chalav? But the fats of the animal. We're not allowed to eat chalav of a behema. Eating chalav of a behema is an isser min haTorah. Not only is it an isser min haTorah, it's an isser kares. So I have the chalav of a carbon. Also la'echo mishum chalav. Now, when I shechted the carbon properly, when the Kohen shechted the carbon, so now, vis-a-vis me, am I allowed to eat the chilev? Of course not. It's chilev. It's usar. What about the mizbeach? Mutter legavoa. Now, we say mutter legavoa. We could even say it's stronger. Mitzvah. Meaning, that's what I'm supposed to do with the chilev. You put it up onto the mizbeach. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kavayachal. I'm saying this as a way for, you know, just to hear the example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowed to eat it. You understand? I'm saying that in legabe mizbech. Nasa nosar, mosif alav iser lamash aisa muteres lo de pasal lahakrava. Now, if let's say we didn't offer it up onto the mizbech, but we let it stay overnight, now what's going to happen? We know that every carbon has a shelf life. For an ola, well, ola goes up onto the mizbech. For a chatas, it's one day and the following night. For a shlamim, it's one day, the following night, the next day after that. And beyond that point in time now, the animal is usser. The carbon's usser. The isser is called noser. That too, by the way, has also nisukaris. Noser is going to apply to the chalev. Why? Because v'hachi amrina mitoch shechal ala Hashem noser lo osra ala mizbeach v'initzer arisha ma'akav ayyadei malachol she'in ze iser chal al iser chal ala hanami iser shem noser eitzer kol adam ha'ochlo leitzchayv alav mishum chalev v'mishum noser. You see, because what noser now does is the following. Noser is going to apply to the chalev. Because what it does now is it's going to be offering a qualitatively greater iser to the chalev. Because up until noser hits, what can I do with the animal, with the chalev? I can't eat it. But the mizbeach can. And now comes along noser, you can't put it on the mizbeach. So now there's a new dimension of iser. It's not an incorporation. We're not incorporating other foods. To this piece of chalev, I can no longer put it onto the mizbeach. So a new dimension now of iser has applied to the chalev because of noser. So therefore, noser does impose on top of it. It's qualitatively greater. So therefore, there's going to be an iser of noser as well as the already existing iser of chalev. Now, aren't we imposing one iser on top of another iser? Sure. But since the second iser is providing a new dimension of iser to this piece itself, so therefore, it's going to be an iser mosif. Now that we're saying this, now you understand, or hopefully, right, now you understand why iser mosif is greater than iser kolo, or stronger than iser kolo. Iser kolo is just a question of incorporation. Meaning, is there a new dimension of iser to this piece? No. But since it affects other things, it's also going to take this and take it along for the ride. Iser Mosif, it's actually this piece itself. A new dimension of Iser is applying to this piece. So therefore, since a new dimension is applying to this piece, so therefore the second Iser is going to impose on the first Iser.
Could you say that Iser Kolef increases the limits to the person, rather Iser Mosif actually only to the object? More items prohibited than
right.
For the person.
Let me think a little bit more about that in terms of definitional.
It seems like it's more of color, more toward the subject linking.
Right. Okay. In other words, I'm working right now today. It just happens to be today. I'm just working with the examples that are given. Nevela and Yom Kippur, Noser by Chalev. So, I'd have to thoroughly think about all the various examples and see if that's true. But okay. I'm just working with today's examples. And then, once we have the Rashi down, so now you read the Gemara again, which we're going to do right now, and with Rashi, the Gemara makes so much sense. Let's just read the Gemara one more time. So the Gemara says, Amarava, I'm just starting again, just to run through the Gemara, because now that we know the difference between Iser Kolo and Iser Mosif, so watch the Gemara again. My time and Daman Disle Iser Kolo, Mi Didavi Iser Mosif. The one who subscribes to Iser Kolo says, look, it's no different than Iser Mosif. Iser Mosif, you have a second Iser imposing on top of the first Iser. Same thing with Iser Kolo. Uman de Pater, and the one who says no, de Leislei, ki amar Iser Mosif b'chad achiticha. Yeah, because by Iser Mosif, we'll say Iser Mosif by one piece. Meaning, like after reading the Rashi, beautiful. Meaning, because what Iser Mosif really is a qualitatively increase of Iser. Not quantitative. It's not because it applies to other pieces, it applies to this piece as well. No, to this singular piece itself. That second Iser is adding a new dimension. That's why Iser Mosif is going to be Chal. Iser Kolo is not introducing anything new. There's no new dimension of Iser. It just happens to apply to other things, therefore it applies to this as well. However, Shtei Chatichos Lo Amrinon, but we don't say Iser Kolo because that's the argument of, since it applies to multiple pieces, it applies to this one as well. No, Amarava. Laman Disla Iser Kolo. So if you are a subscriber to Iser Kolo, what does that mean? Amar, Shvur Shalo Ochel Teinim. Let's say you make one Shvur saying, I'm not going to eat figs. And then, V'chazav Amar, Shvur Shalo Ochel Teinim V'anavar. And you make a second Shvur. And your second Shvur is, I'm not going to eat figs and I'm not going to eat grapes. Migu D'chayel Anavim, Chayel Nami Ateinim. Oh, so then your second Shvur will be Chal, even on the figs. Now, we say, what do you mean? You can't make one Shvur and just simply repeat Shvur. That second Shavuot is just a duplicate. And it doesn't have any validity. Gemara says, yes, that's true. But in your second Shavuot over here, you incorporated. You added also grapes. Since you added grapes, it also is going to cover figs. So the second Shavuot is going to be covering figs as well via Iser Kolo. So the Gemara says, Pshita. And the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? Meaning, isn't that basically what we just got done explaining? Now, ma'u detema isser haba me'elav arminan isser. I'm sorry, arminan. Isser haba me'atzma lo arminan kamash malan. The Gemara says, yeah, but remember, you could have made the argument that, second, even if I subscribe to isser kolo, isser kolo will be true if the second isser is coming automatically. Again, like the example of Nevel and Yom Kippur. But if isser kolo is coming along because I'm creating the second isser, meaning shvua, so then maybe we wouldn't say that. Kamashman, the chiddush is, no. Even if I'm creating it through a shvua, so then the second isser is going to be chal. Meitzav rava berei derava, yesh ochel ochel achila achiz v'chayev alav arba chatos v'asham echad. So here now we're learning together the Mishnah and Krisus. The Mishnah and Krisus talks about, can I eat one kezais of a food and be subject with that one eating? I'm going to get rung up at the register for four carbon chatzis and one asham. Elohein. The Mishnah Krisus says, yep, can do it. Tamisha ocha chela v'unosam in the mukdashim b'yom ha-kippurim. A person who is tamei, eating chelev of a carbon, which was left over beyond its time. It was obviously hektesh, and I do so on Yom Kippur. Ring the guy up for four carbon chatzis and one asham. Let's go through every one of the yisurim involved over here. Number one, as we've been discussing since the beginning of our mesechta, a tamei person eating a carbon, that's a carbon chatzis. It happens to also be an olav yori, but in other words, it's a carbon chatzis. It's chelev. That's another carbon chatas. It's noser. That's the third carbon chatas. It's Yom Kippur. That's the fourth carbon chatas. And also because he's benefiting from hektesh, that's asher me'ila. Obviously, all this is done b'shogeg. Otherwise, we're not having a carbon discussion. So there's a scenario in which you're going to be eating one food, and you're going to be rung up for four carbon chatas and one asher. Obviously, all this seems to be a basic violation of the rule of Ein Isser Chala Isser, and what you're going to have to say over here is that all these are going to buck the trend based on either Isser Kolo, Isser Mosif. Go through the Rashi over here. Rashi takes us through which one is Isser Mosif, which one is Isser Kolo. Here, I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside. I strongly encourage you to do so. Rashi simply points out which one is in Isser Kolo, which one's in Isser Mosif. Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Im Haisa Shabbos Votziu Chayev. So our mayor says, well, if you have the chelev in your mouth while you're chewing and you're walking from a Rishus Yachid to Rishus Arabim, so you're also violating Shabbos as well. That's another chiyuv. Amar lo eino min hashem. And the Chachamim said to Rabbi Meir, you're not playing the game correctly. Meaning that what we're looking for over here is the chatas, all the chatas that you have to bring is because of the act of eating. Yes, it's true. You can tack on other Yisurim as well, but Not through eating. So in other words, I say game, you understand. Meaning right, what we're looking to do over here, right, this exercise, so to say, is to find the number of Yisurim that one can generate by eating. Now, the im isa mishkachala chamesh kagon shamar shvur shalo ochel tamarim v'chelev. Migudu chayla tamarim chayla namei achelev. Now, Rava, didn't the Mishnah over here miss a grand opportunity of adding another carbon? Because according to you, if you make a shvuah and you say with your shvuah that I'm not going to eat dates and chalev, okay? So since your shvuah now covers dates, it's also going to cover chalev as well, based on this principle of Isser Kolo. And so why didn't the Mishnah there in Krisus give that as another example? It's a good question. So ki kitani, so the Gemara is going to give six answers, and we're going to run through the six answers of the Gemara. Answer number one. Kikitani isser haba me'elav isser haba me'atzmo lo kitani. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that, look, the isserim that we're looking at over there, their exercise, so to say, of finding the maximum number of isserim is only isserim that are objective isserim. It's isserim that come on their own. Self-generated isserim, like shvua, that they're not looking towards. Vare hektesh, the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, one of the examples in that case is the animal is hektesh. Hektesh, of course, is self-generated. You're machtish the animal. So the Gemara says, bebechor, dikdusha somei rechem. So the Gemara says, no, the hektesh over there happens to have been a bechor. That's automatic kedusha. You're not investing it with kedusha. Ebay, same answer number two, ki katani mi de delay slay she'ela. Shvu de isle she'ela lo katani. So the Gemara says, also, maybe the exercise of that mission over there in Croesus was only for things that are inextractable. Things that you can't go to a chacham and say, hey, I didn't mean this. Can you get me out of it? Shvua, on the other hand, like neder, you go to a chacham, you say, look, I made a shvua, but had I known about X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have made the shvua. If there's a Pesach, he can get you out of the shvua. So the Gemara says, Hare Hekdesh. The Gemara says, okay. But again, one of the examples in that case in the Mishnah Croesus is Hekdesh. Hekdesh is extractable. Hekdesh is a neder. And if you go to a chacham and explain to him, had I known about X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have done it, he can get you even out of Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Ha'ukibna be'bechor. The Gemara says again, but the case over there in the Mishnah Croesus is talking about Bechor, that's inextractable. You can't get out of Kedusha's Bechor. Another suggestion is that the Mishnah over there in that exercise of totaling up the most amount of karbanos is only talking about a karban chatas. Not in a case of shvua, it would be an olav yared. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, yeah, but one of the examples in that Mishnah Croesus is a tame eating a karban. That's an olav yared. So the Gemara says, benasi. Well, maybe we could be talking about where it is a nasi eating it. A nasi is not going to be bringing a olav yared. A nasi is going to be bringing a more standard karban chatas. Okay. I'm sorry. V'Rabbi Elazar here, damar nasi mevi seir. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, the nasi is bringing a seir. Okay. Rav Ashi amar ki ketani mida dechayla kishir. Shvua dechayla apachos mikishir lo ketani. So the Gemara says, also, another reason why the Mishnah in Croesus didn't give the example of shvua is because shvua can apply to both that which has a shir and that which does not have a shir. If you explicate your shvua, it can even apply to apachos mikishir. So the Gemara says, harei hektesh habi'ina shavapru. I'm sorry, harei hektesh. So the Gemara says, okay, but Hekdesh doesn't have a shear for Kazayas. So the Gemara says, Habina Shavapruta. You're right, it doesn't have a shear for Kazayas, but it does have a shear, as opposed to Shvua. Shvua can apply to something with absolutely no shear whatsoever, like we discussed earlier. Ravashi may avira ama rebizera kikitani zdono kares. Zdono lav lo kitani. So the Gemara says, again, another way to explain why the Mishnah Croesus didn't give the example of Shvua is because Shvua, if done intentionally, is not subject to kares. What they were looking at in that Mishnah Croesus was those Yisurim where, if done intentionally, they're subject to kares. So the Gemara says, Vare Asham Dizdon Olav, Viktani. So the Gemara says, well, what about Asham? If I violate Asham intentionally, it's not a kares-bearing Yisur. So the Gemara says, Bechatas Kamrina. The Gemara says, you're right, but on the Chatas, examples, there are four of them, so they were looking for examples in which, if done intentionally, they'd be Karis bearing. Ravina, Amar Kikitani, Mida Dechayel, Amida Debar Achilahu. Shvur Dechayel, Amida Delabar Achilahu, Lo Kitani. So the Gemara says, well, you know, the reason why the Mishnah didn't give the example Shvur is because the Mishnah was looking for things that apply to food. Shvur applies to food and also non-foods as well. And that's why Shvua wasn't given as an example. Gemara says, I don't understand. Hare Hektesh Techayel Nami Aitzim V'Avanim. What do you mean? Hektesh applies to wood, stones. Hektesh can apply to non-foods as well. Ela Kiketani Techayel Amida De'Ispe Mashasha. Shvua Techayel Amida De'Lespe Mashasha Kegon She'ishan Shaloishan Lo Ketani. The Gemara just adjusts this last answer. You know, shvua applies to things of substance and things of non-substance as well. You can make a shvua that you're going to sleep. You can make a shvua that you're not going to sleep. Right, right. So those are things which are actions, they're not objects. And the Mishnah in Croesus over there was looking only on things which apply only to objects. Isbe mashasha. So another reason why shvua wasn't invoked over there. So again, just one... Once we have this principle of Issur Kolel, I'll summarize the Amud Beis very quickly. Once we have this principle of Issur Kolel, so if my second Shvua applies to something which I'm already bound by Shvua, but I incorporate other things, it should apply. The Gemara says, noted. Good point. What about the Mishnah Croesus, where the Mishnah was looking for the maximum number of karbanos that a person can bring, and the Mishnah over there had an opportunity to also introduce a second Shvua via Issur Kolel. Why didn't the Mishnah do that? And the Gemara gave six different explanations in terms of what the Mishnah, in theory, could have given such an example, but for various reasons, the Mishnah did not give that example.